Well, a giant is a creature to be feared, or is it? When we were kids, I think we were probably all fascinated by stories of giants or monsters that captured our imagination. I know I was. I was always wondered about the story of Jack and the Beanstalk and the giant in that story. Well, I want to tell you a story about giants today, and these are the giants of Anak. The giants of Anak. Well, where is that? Who are the Anakim? Well, it might sound like a Star Wars creature or something from Star Trek, but the giants of Anak are in the Bible. That's A-N-A-K, the giants of Anak. And we're going to look at the story of them today and draw some lessons. The giants of Anak offer a lesson for us today, and as we will see, there is no reason to fear the giants. In fact, there's every reason to believe that God will help us face the giants. He'll help us face the giants in our lives, and that's the lesson we'll get from the message today. So I've titled this sermon, The Giants of Anak. And the main point of the message is that you do not need to fear the giants, because God will fight your battles. He'll help you face them. Perhaps you've heard a biblically based message like this about giants in the Bible and the lessons that we can draw from them. Perhaps you've heard a message similar to that before. Well, today, my hope is that you'll see some more to the story, something new in the scriptures, perhaps that you have not already seen. So I'm going to take you now to where the story begins in Numbers chapter 13. If you would also turn with me there to Numbers chapter 13. And this is where we find the story beginning, the story of the giants of Anak. The first point I'll make here as we look through this is that Israel had a giant problem. They had a giant problem. Let's look at this. Israel's problem was that they were afraid of the giants. There were giants in the land that they were about to go in to possess. And they gave in to that fear, and that caused many problems. And this passage, or this chapter of Numbers 13, is where we first find the giants of Anak in the scriptures. So let's start in verse 25, and I'll read through the story a little here and comment as we go. It starts out by saying here in verse 25, and they returned from spying out the land for after 40 days. And this was referencing the spies who went at Moses' command to scout out the wilderness, or scout out rather the promised land from the wilderness where they were. So now they departed and came back, verse 26, to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. I think this is a story we're very familiar with, about the spies who went out at Moses' command and came back with this report. And so they said to him, verse 27, we went to the land where you sent us, and truly it flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Here it is. Nevertheless, verse 28 says, and this was a big word right here, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. This is where, again, we in this passage of Scripture is the first time we see the descendants of Anak, who were giants in the Scriptures. And they must have had a reputation already, because Israel, when they heard about them, were fearful. But notice, not all of the spies who went into the land, as we're familiar with the story, were fearful. Caleb and Joshua weren't afraid. Notice verse 30. And Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. And that was the right attitude. And we all know that Caleb was commended by God for taking this stance. But the men, verse 31, who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave, verse 32, the children of Israel a bad report of which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. And there were giants we saw," verse 33. "The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So we felt like grasshoppers, are very small in the sight of those giant people, and those people thought we looked small to them. Of course, again, we've read through this story many times. I think we're very familiar with it. That the children of Israel were fearful of the people in the land, including these giants of Anak. They scared them. And they gave in to that fear, and they would not go forward. But Joshua and Caleb did not fear them. They trusted God, that God would help them conquer the land and the giants in it. They believed that God was with them, and they did not need to fear the giants. Notice next chapter, verse 6 of chapter 14. Where Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. Now think about this. They're tearing their clothes off because they see what Israel is about to do after all that God had done for them, to bring them this far, to show all these signs and wonders, to bring them out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. They were about to give up and go home, or go back to Egypt, or wherever. They were not going to go into the land. And hence, they could see this mistake that they were about to do, and just tore their clothes in a display of, really, I think, an emotional display of showing them how terrible this was to do. They tore their clothes, and they spoke, verse 7, to the congregation of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." Only, verse 9, Joshua and Caleb said, "Do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread, and their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And here again, brethren, is the lesson for us. It's not necessarily that fear of the giants is the problem. It's just letting that fear take over and keep you from going forward. This was the problem. It's letting that fear control you. That was the problem that Israel had. That was their giant problem, even when God said to go forward. But God wants us to face our fears, the giants in our lives, and overcome them. Remember the story when Israel was leaving Egypt? They came to the Red Sea shortly after leaving Egypt, and there they are, backed up against the Red Sea, and they cried out to God in fear, because there's Pharaoh's army coming at them, and the Red Sea is behind. Remember what happened? Remember when Moses said, "Do not be afraid, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish today. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." That's what Moses said. And then God said to Moses, "Tell the children of Israel to go forward." This is the same situation, just not long after, where they're about to go into the land, and they were afraid. and wouldn't go forward. And caused many problems, as we know, because God said, all right, for the number of days that the spies were wandering in the land, the 40 days that they were wandering, for every day you'll be a year in the wilderness. And this was why they began wandering for 40 years, because they feared going in and taking the land. It was years later when that generation of adults had died out, because God said, you'll be in the wilderness for 40 years and you'll die out, and you won't go into the land, but your children will go in. So almost 40 years later, as the children now are about to go in, Moses reminds them of this story, of what happened when their fathers were afraid to go in. It's over in Deuteronomy chapter 1. So if you would please turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We'll see now some nearly 40 years later that Moses reminds now the next generation who came up in their parents' place of what happened, why they did not go in. Verse 26, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Moses is recounting now the story. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there, the sons of these giants, the Anakim. There were giants in the land. But note what Moses says to them now. Remember, this is now nearly 40 years later. They're about to go in, and Moses, as we know, did not go in with them, and he's writing the book of Deuteronomy. It's kind of like his last will and testament, reminding them what their parents did. So he then says in verse 29, he adds more detail to the story of what happened that day. And then I said to you, verse 29, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. So there's the lesson again. Don't fear the giants. God's going to fight your battles. He's going to help you face your giants. So same book of Deuteronomy, not long after this, chapter 9, if you would come over here. Just as they were about to cross over into the Jordan, Moses reminds them again that they don't need to fear, that God would fight for them. Again, the lessons that we can draw from this story. Chapter 9 of Deuteronomy, verse 1. He says to them, hear, O Israel, you are to cross the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven. And that was true. Israel was weak in compared to these cities who are well fortified, who had their defenses established. To a people, he said, verse 2, great and tall, the descendants of the Anakim, whom you know and of whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak? You know, this was the rumor. This was what people heard about the descendants of Anak. Who can stand before them? And this is what Israel had heard. This is what thought started to take hold and give them fear, and they gave into that fear. That was true. There were giant people in the land. But Israel had God on their side. Therefore, Moses said, verse 3, understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Same lesson again. The Lord will fight your battle. You don't need to fear the giants. Here's another point for us, brethren, if you're taking points. This is point number two of the sermon. People of faith are not afraid of giants. Well, how big is your giant? We've all got big problems at some point in our lives. How big are they? How big are the problems you face? Well, God told Joshua, as he was about to lead the nation into the land, the successor of Moses, Joshua, to be strong and unafraid. And there's another part of the story we're very familiar with. It's over in Joshua chapter 1. We'll read a verse over there. In Joshua chapter 1, as the Lord is now speaking to Moses' successor, Joshua, telling him to go in and take this land. Don't be afraid. Verse 9 of Joshua 1, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, the same lesson. Don't be afraid of the giants, for God is with you, and he'll help you face them. And so we know the story of Joshua's conquest of the land, that he did as God commanded. And he was very successful, and God was with him throughout the entire conquest. And he did take the giants of Anakim. It's over in Joshua chapter 11. Joshua chapter 11. And this is basically summarizing all of the conquest of the land. And here in Joshua chapter 11, in this summary of all that he did to take the land, at that time, verse 21 also, verse 21 of Joshua 11, at that time Joshua came and cut off the Anakim from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, and from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them and with their cities. Just wiped them out. He faced them, faced the giants, and God was with him. And none, verse 22, of the Anakim were left in the land of the children of Israel, but they remained only in Gaza, in Gath, in Ashdod. Three cities near the Mediterranean, and we'll talk about them in a few moments a little bit more. Three cities where the Anakim still dwelt. So Joshua, verse 23, took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and then the land rested from the war. Remember Caleb? He also had a part in taking down the Anakim. Caleb had his chance to face them. He was ready 45 years prior, as we'll read in the story, ready to face the Anakim, the giants. And now he got his chance. It's over in Joshua chapter 14. The story of Caleb facing the giants. As he tells the story here, Caleb says in verse 7 of Joshua 14, verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him that it as it was in my heart. And we saw that, where Caleb said, it is a good land. It is truly a land flowing with milk and honey, and we could go in there. That was what Caleb said when he came back. And Caleb says right here, I was 40 years old when Moses sent me there. And I told him what I saw, what was in my heart. And then in verse 10, if you skip down a couple of verses, verse 10, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. A few weeks ago, Mr. Raines gave a message, a sermonette, about this very verse here, about the courage that Caleb here showed. 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. He went through the entire wandering of the wilderness. He was one of the few who did not die in the wilderness because he believed God. And he was allowed to go in and take the land. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. And I think we could picture a man 85 years old, saying these things that he does here. And he would have to be a man of great fortitude and strength. As he says in verse 11, as yet I am strong this day, on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in. He was ready 45 years ago, but now he had his chance to go in. And you think about ourselves in terms of the things we face in our lives, the problems we face. He hung in there for literally the length of a whole generation, 45 years and more, and stayed with it. And now he's got his chance. And in verse 12, I absolutely love, and I could picture him saying there, this is 85-year-old man saying, now therefore, give me this mountain. I get a lot of strength from those words. Give me this mountain. And he knows what's up there. The giants are up there. Give me this mountain which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And he did. Caleb had his part in facing the giants and destroying them. It's in chapter 15. Next chapter, Joshua 15 and verse 13. Now Caleb, verse 13 of Joshua 15, now Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave, and he's speaking of Joshua, giving him a share among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely, Kirjath Arba. That was Caleb's inheritance, which is Hebron. That's where the Anakim were. Arba was the father of Anak, as it says here. And Caleb, verse 14, drove out the three sons of Anak from there, and there would be not just three sons, but all their families and clans and the giants that were there, these giant people. And Caleb, it says, verse 14, drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Sheshai, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. He drove out the giants. And the places, though, again, remember that the places that the Anakim were left were in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod. And perhaps those names sound familiar to you from your knowledge of Scripture. You could easily look in your Bible reference maps in the back and find where Israel is given its tribal allotments, and you could find them pretty quickly. They're along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and Gath is a little bit inward there. Well, these were the cities of Philistines. These were Philistine cities. And from there, from here, from the Philistine city of Gath, came another giant. And that's a well-known story. The well-known story of Goliath. And that story is in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we know this story very well. This is the story of David and Goliath. And as the chapter opens, chapter 17 opens, we see King Saul and Israel's armies were gathered together to fight the Philistine army. That's what we see in verse 1 through 3. They're gathered together in like this valley or this like a plain. The armies prepared to go to war with one another. And there on the battlefield appears Goliath, the giant. Verse 4, 1 Samuel 17. And a champion went up from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, 6 cubits, if you take a cubit of being 1.5 feet, which is the generally accepted rule, he's 6 of those, which is 9 feet, plus a span, which I think is the length of the hand. So he's over 9 feet tall, going on 10. Now, the Bible doesn't specifically say that Goliath was a descendant of Anak, but we know the descendants of Anak were there, went there after the conquest of the land. So most Bible scholars think it's a reasonable assumption to say that Goliath was one of these descendants, even though, if not a direct descendant of Anak, he was a giant. And Israel was afraid. This is the same problem as they had centuries before. This was their giant problem. And so this Goliath came out in verse 10. This Philistine came out, as we know the story, and said, verse 10 of 1 Samuel 17, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." He's challenging the entire nation. And like before, he struck fear. The giant struck fear in the heart of Israel, but it was not so with a young shepherd boy named David. Again, we're very familiar with this story. Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And there is David. He comes onto the battlefield. As we know the story, his father had given him provisions for his brothers who were in the Israelite army. And he comes to the battlefield with those supplies, keeps the supplies with the supply keeper, and ran out to the army and came and greeted his brothers. And then he talked to them in verse 23. And there was this champion, this Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, which were, "I defy the armies of Israel this day." And David heard them. And what was the reaction of Israel? Verse 24, "And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid." Same problem. The lesson of facing the giants in our lives is that God will fight our battles. He knows we're weak of ourselves, but he tells us if we trust in him, he'll fight our battles. And that strength, that conviction, that faith in God is what formed David's response, as we see in verse 45, his classic response to Goliath. In verse 45, "And then David said to the Philistine," as we know now, the two of them are out in the center of the battlefield between the two armies, and all eyes are on them. David said to this Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." This was coming right from his conviction and his faith that God was with him and he would fight his battles and he could face that giant. We see this is the same lesson that we can draw from this story of the giants in Scripture. "And this day," he says, "the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head." And we know that's exactly what happened. And then verse 47, all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And so David, with that conviction, that confidence in God, with the skill that he had with a sling and a small stone, you remember the story, he picked up five small stones, put that stone in that sling and hurled it and hit him right in the forehead and killed him. Killed the giants, slew him. He had the weapons that God had supplied, but most of all, he had his faith, his conviction. God had prepared him with that skill, with that ability to sling that rock. God had prepared him for that. But more than anything, he prepared him by using David and developing David, and David with a heart for God became a man of great faith and showed the main point of this sermon. And this will be point three, that we don't need to fear the giants. Don't fear the giants. I'd like you to come back to Deuteronomy now, Deuteronomy chapter 20, and read a portion of the story again. As Moses is giving Israel instructions, as they are about to go into the land, remember the land of which they were afraid to go up years before, but now they're ready. Deuteronomy chapter 20, Moses tells them what to do when you're about ready to go to war, when you're about ready to face the giants. This is what you're to do. Verse 1 of Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see the horses and the chariots and the people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And so it shall be, when you are on the verge of battle, that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. We could think about this, brethren, in terms of ourselves. For the priest represented the messenger of God. He had the word of God. And before they went into battle, they were to hear the word of God. Now think about that. And what it means for you. When you face your trials and difficulties, what do you need? You need, as in type is shown here, this priest coming to you with the word of God. What you need is God's word in you, in your mind and heart, and having the conviction that it is true. Because that's what strengthens us. When God sees that faith in us, he gives us strength to help us face our giants. So, verse 3, the priest shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint. Don't be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight against you, or fight for you, rather, against your enemies to save you. The Lord your God will fight for you." It's the same lesson again. Don't fear the giants, and God will fight your battles. We have today, brethren, I'm sure all of us, giant problems at any time in our lives that can seem huge, very large to us. But God will deliver us. He'll deliver the one who relies on his strength. Let's go to a couple of scriptures in Isaiah. Come with me to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, and we'll see that God gives strength to the ones who look to him. Sometimes we struggle with believing that God is really with us. We might let, like Israel did, our fears kind of take hold and cause us to turn away, to turn back from facing our problems. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 27. "Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Also one verse in chapter 41. He says, verse 10, God saying to us, fear not, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Brethren, with all this information here that God shows us in the scriptures, when we apply this into our lives, we're going to see that God truly does fight our battles if we trust him and believe him. Paul wrote to the Romans, what shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? It's Romans 8, verse 31. Beautiful scripture. If God is for us, who can be against us? We can always take encouragement also from the words that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples just as he was about to go out on the night of his betrayal and face his giant, really his death. He said to them, in me you may have peace, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You know, you're going to go out like I am and have trouble in the world. You're going to have, as it were, from as using this scripture, the analogy of the giants, you're going to have problems that are seemingly bigger. They are seemingly bigger than you. But God can help you. God will fight your battles. The thought of the giants of Anak scared an entire nation at one time, and they gave in to their fears and did not go forward. But real heroes that we see in this story of the giants of Anak, Joshua, Caleb, and later King David when he trusted God and faced Goliath, they faced the giants. They weren't afraid, and they conquered them because they trusted in God. No matter what we might hear about giants, like Israel heard about the Anakim, who can fight them? No matter what we hear, we don't need to be afraid. Don't fear the giants, because God is on your side. He will fight your battles. But to close the sermon for today, come with me to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, and we'll read a few verses from one of the giant killers, David himself. Psalm 27, verse 1. Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. God would be on his side. This one thing, he says finally in verse 4, I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And that for us, brethren, is a metaphor for the kingdom of God, because that one thing we desire is God's kingdom. That is the one thing we seek. As David says, this one thing I have desired, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. We don't need to fear the giants, but we need to face them and let the Lord fight our battles. Those are the lessons that we can take from the story of the giants of Anak.